tell this is a good honor?
Yes, it is.
Actually, the brother of his honor. Well, I don't even know how that worked out. The former Commerce Secretary of the United States of America and Chief of Staff to the President of the United States of America, William Daley, is in the studio with us. And, well, Secretary, I'm trying to remain calm all day. Mm-hmm.
You're doing a good job, I think, today.
My doctors have told me that the worst thing ever happened to me health-wise was Trump running for president, but it appears to be true. You spent a lot of time in the around presidents. You spent a lot of time around. I know that you know George W. Bush fairly well. You obviously, you know, very familiar with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. You are in that room that night that Bin Laden got taken down. You're in that picture, right? I mean, you've seen this. Today, the president of the United States said that he believes that Donald Trump is unfit to be president of the United States. Is that the place of a sitting president, do you think?
Well, historically, it wouldn't have been. But we're in such crazy times. And I think a year ago, that would have been a bit too far to go for anyone to say that. But when you look at the last year, and you look at the things...
Just look at the last week. Let's just go with a week.
Yeah, but take the whole year. I mean, John McCain almost a year ago, or less than a year, mm-hmm. or less than a year ago. And there's just been a pattern here. And it's hard to say, knowing the difficulty of the job, knowing the personality of Donald Trump, at least what's pretty obvious, that that's a good match for that sort of pressure job. It looks as though, you've got to have somebody there with a George Bush Senior, Junior, Clinton. There's a certain yin and yang to life and yin and yang to that office mm-hmm. that one has to get accustomed to. And you cannot be so mercurial in a job like that. And that's just crazy.
Aren't there plenty of people that can point that out? I mean, the President Obama is an extremely bright man. He knows he's jumping into it when he does that. Mm-hmm. And you already see Trump, as you would expect, responding on Twitter. President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States. So he's sort of drawing himself into it, isn't he, by using that forum to attack him? Aren't there other people who could do it? Why would he do it?
Think back. Who was the guy who led this birther movement questioning the validity of Barack Obama?
No question.
Which really had an enormous impact in Washington around his credibility and being accepted as a credible president. So there's a bit of payback probably going on here, personal payback.
If you go Does back that happen and look, in politics?
Yeah. Go back and watch the White House Correspondents' Dinner the night before the Osama bin Laden raid, where Trump was there. And the president took him down. And a lot of this is personal. Should it be? Maybe not. But if there's anybody in politics who makes it personal, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, that's very true. Where do you think the country goes here, Bill? It's interesting because you're seeing these polls move around based on the conventions, and that's sort of pro forma expected, right? But where does, at this point, think the people that are going to vote for Hillary are the people who are going to vote for Hillary, that whatever, the 30-something percent that's for Trump is for Trump. Now, the real question is, where does that 25-30% in the middle go?
I think I think it's a lot smaller than that. I think it's a very small number of people that are going to really make a decision between now. You've gotten in a situation where the amount of attention on these campaigns so far out, a year ago, Donald Trump, that they know just about everything about him. And I think you've got a pretty clear idea, for good or bad, of Hillary Clinton, or good or bad, about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not going to change very much. So I don't think the swing voters who are really sitting there saying, gee, I can't make up my mind. I think that, and historically, the last number of presidential elections, that's been a shrinking number of people. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see, come Labor Day, sort of this thing locked in fairly well. And it's a 9-week sprint with 3 debates, if Trump does the 3 debates, which I don't think he'll ever do.
Well, it's interesting that started to become a controversy here about the NFL dates. And by the way, for those who might think, well, Donald Trump has a point, he doesn't. The Presidential Commission on Debates chooses those dates 18 months out.
Right.
And it was even before Donald Trump had announced he was running for president.
Right, or Hillary Clinton had anything to do with it. I went through this with Gore and Bush back in 2000.
Oh, that's right.
And which was a lot of fun. Those are 3 debates that were a lot of fun, and then everything else. But they said them. They understand there's a football game that night. you know, but this is the presidency of the United States. This is the leader of the free world. Donald Trump saying, well, I don't want to go up against the football game because nobody's going to watch it. This will be the most watched debate.
True.
Never. It will be, especially the
NFL should be complaining right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. They're the ones who should be changing.
Goodell.
Hey. Like Goodell, we're going to change our dates around a little bit here.
He doesn't have enough on his plate. He has to, you know what we're going to do? You know, Monday Night Football, we're going to do a Tuesday Night Football.
Right. How about that?
We'll try it for a couple weeks.
But there's probably an Adele concert somewhere, so maybe we ought to move it because of that. I mean, come on. This is the presidency of the United States. Don't worry. People will watch it worldwide.
Well, it was funny because we were at the last week at the ABC compound, right after the whole thing was over, and ABC threw a party for all the people who were working, and there was a conversation about that there is speculation that the first debate will be the most watched television event in mm-hmm. American history mm-hmm. in raw numbers of people.
It's possible.
I don't doubt. I think it will be, and watch worldwide. I mean, I've done some traveling worldwide lately, and they are watching this. Unbelievable.
Let's talk about that, because everybody I know who has, and especially now you're going to be in the room with business people and heads of state and mm-hmm. things like that. And it seems to me that everybody I've talked to who's been in similar rooms in the last year has had the exact same question. Is this real?
Right. What is going on in your country that you end up? And what's going on with the Republicans? There's only two parties, basically, two-party system. So in the history of either one of them, you've never had such an out-of-the-box sort of challenging, for good or bad, mm-hmm. a candidate like Donald Trump. And the rest of the world sits there and says, they listen to the things he says. Many of us kind of tune
him.
Out. And they believe him. They say, well, why would he say that he wouldn't come to the defense of somebody who's a NATO partner if he didn't mean it? Why say that? So they believe what he says. Now, you can wait 24 hours and maybe he'll change his mind, but they hear the first end, and it's very upsetting.
You know, it's interesting because the Prime Minister of Singapore was a part of that press conference today where the president said that Donald Trump was unfit, and he was talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and that if the United States does renege on its end of the agreement in a Trump administration or even in a Clinton administration, because she's already opposed to it,
and so is Kane.
Right. Right. They've changed their position on that. That Japan, and I thought it was very interesting that the Singaporean prime minister was talking for Japan, but he said that Japan, who, you know, has not, it under treaty, does not build their military and does not have nuclear weapons because they live under the nuclear umbrella of the United States. Can they trust us for the nuclear umbrella, or will they have to go shopping for defense?
Well, Trump said they should get a nuclear weapon. I mean, that's like totally against what Democrat, Republican for all these years to say, oh, Japan should go get a nuclear weapon. And that's the answer. Maybe we won't put the umbrella over them. They'll go get their own nuclear weapons. Proliferation of more nuclear weapons isn't exactly what the world needs right now.
Right.
I mean, we've got enough problems with guns in America, but more nuclear weapons may not be the answer.
How does he not understand that? I don't understand. Bill, help me here.
No, I don't think anybody can help me with that. Bill, let's talk about TPP, because I know you were central in under Bill Clinton with helping NAFTA get accepted, and that's been largely criticized. It's been front and center, especially among Democrats, as being something that some people view as a job killer. And yet I saw you wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times, I don't know, about a year ago or a little less, talking mm-hmm. about why TPP is the right way to go.
Right. Look, are there job losses in this dynamic economy of ours? We churn 8 million jobs a year, change, you know, get created, disappear, or whatever. Yes, and some of them are because of trade. Many of them are because of technology advances that we celebrate that maybe U.S. companies that make. Just take your iPhone. How many jobs is that done away with? Whether it's assistants, whether it's receptionists, you know, you have voicemail, you have all the... So technology is changing, in my opinion, many more jobs than any trade deal has done, including NAFTA, okay? Part of the problem with NAFTA, now again, NAFTA was 25 years ago. So would you do a NAFTA today? Probably not. It'd be very different. Barack Obama has gotten probably the most progressive, if that's what you're interested in, trade deal with TPP on labor standards, on environmental issues, than any president's ever gotten. I mean, this guy would not be selling out America and jobs when he came in the office at a time when we were losing 750,000 jobs a month. That just wouldn't be his motivator. So the fact that he's fighting for it, I think there are tremendous challenges in this global economy we're in. And much of the anger, much of the angst that's going on in this country and other parts of the world is a result of this dynamism and fast-paced change that's going on with jobs, and that's real. And people's anger and fear of that is real. Can you put it all, or should you put it on trade deals? That's crazy. That just doesn't.
Well, do you agree that NAFTA probably did zap some of those manufacturing
jobs? There were
jobs
that went to Mexico, no doubt about it. Were there jobs that went to Mexico because of that? Yes. Is it easier to build a plant in other parts of the world and have robots run it and ship your goods any place in the world? Absolutely. Did Illinois send more agriculture products around the rest of the world because of trade deals? Absolutely.
And so what's the solution to that? Can these jobs come back, or do we have to change the economic structure here so that we replace them with different kinds of jobs?
I think that's what the economy is doing. I think that's what the private sector is doing.
We're going technical, or we're going service economy.
And you know, what's a, quote, manufacturing job? If you work in computers today, that's a manufacturing job in many ways. It's not the old steel mills, you know, putting coal into a fire pit for steel. So there's a dynamism going on in the economy that we celebrate. But there is a downside
to this whole thing. As a former Commerce Secretary, I know that you look at this stuff, and as a banking executive and all that, I mean, you're intimately familiar with how capital flows here. Why isn't there more trickle down, if you will, of wealth to average Americans than there had been in the past? What's happening now?
Well, those whose income is based upon wages is not growing at all. Where you have enormous growth, and this is obviously the income inequality going on, you have those that are basically building assets through stock and appreciation of that, that's created this enormous difference. The wages have not trickled down, partly because of the competition, global now, that companies before, a company making something in the U.S. basically competed with another company down the street, and you could figure it out, and your wages were fairly strong. Now you're competing against a company in Indonesia making the same product, much different wage scale, obviously. Do you keep those goods out that American consumers want to buy at cheaper
prices? The mercantilism idea of Trump.
Or do you say, yes, we will be part of the free world, but... and we will be part of that free trade world, but we've got to have better enforcement. We've got to have stronger enforcement. And companies have to maybe do better by their employees, acknowledging that your first move, take the Oreo plant out south. You know, 600 jobs, 600 families. Are they really going to make that much more money by sending those 600 jobs to Mexico to make Oreos? Really? Well, is their bottom line really going to be that improved? I don't think so. And it would seem to me that big business especially has to wake up and say they owe their employees, they owe their communities more than maybe what they've been given.
Should that be federally enforced? Because it seems like both presidential candidates would want to do that.
Well, that's when you get into, if you believe in the free market and you believe in capitalism, and all these Republicans, first of all, friends who run around say too much regulation, too much regulation. I think that's a bridge too far. What I would like to see is corporate America starting to step up and say, you know what?
What's the incentive to do that, though?
Because it's the right thing. It strengthens our economy. And maybe you won't have this sort of angst that you had with Brexit. You're having right now with people saying no TPP. Maybe if corporate America had a lot more credibility, people would have a little faith in them. So that when these deals happen, they won't feel they'll get screwed by it.
All right, Secretary, hold on 1 second. I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back because I have an important question about the future that I need to ask you. Just wondering if you and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and I want to go in on a little like an A-frame down in New Zealand, just in case we can talk about that. Bill Daley, he was once a Commerce Secretary of the United States of America. He was the Chief of Staff to Barack Obama, and he's sitting here with us right now. Come right back to him. But first, Violetta has got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Bill Daley is in the studio with us. You know the name, fairly famous in Chicago, but there's also a lot of people may not recall, was the Chief of Staff to Barack Obama. He was in the room when they got bin Laden. He was a Commerce Secretary under Bill Clinton. And I guess as a guy who's been around Democratic politics your whole life, Secretary, how is it possible that Hillary Clinton is neck and neck with Donald Trump after all the gaffes and all the weirdness that Donald Trump brings to this?
I think it's a combination of two things. One, there's enormous anger out there, and Trump touches that. Okay, he is the anti-establishment. He's the anti-everything. Second of all, obviously, Hillary Clinton comes with her own baggage. both of them being around 25 years and big jobs and lots of controversy. And our politics is such that nobody really puts anybody away in a big way. Remember, Barack Obama and Romney went, at least publicly in polling, went down to the wire before he won, and won rather substantially on Election Day.
But Romney wasn't insulting people every day.
No, he wasn't. But the country's so polarized. Democrats will be for a Democrat no matter what. Republicans will be for a Republican no matter what. And you've got this anger out there with a lot of people who just want to turn off on whatever the establishment is. And she's, quite frankly, right now, much more establishment. And a lot of people like that sort of.
This is a change year. Theoretically, it's a change year. And if there were a different candidate, a less well-known Democratic candidate, they'd have a better shot at this. And I don't think that. I keep thinking that Donald Trump has. I see a path to victory for Donald Trump.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I don't. Now it's. You still have 2.5 months. But right now, I would say he definitely has.
Before we go, I do want to ask you about the Obama Public Library. Yeah. Happy that it's here.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
The announcement
I think
everything.
It's going to be a tremendous addition to tourism in Chicago. I think it'll be one of those places that people will come from around the world, obviously people of color especially, to see this library. And it's great for Chicago.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bill Daley, thank you
Thanks
very much
lot,
for being
guys.
With us. Really appreciate it.